This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, a very good morning to you. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's a gorgeous Monday morning. I'm Philip C. and joining me in the studio today is Shazana Mukta. As I said, it's 7:06 in the morning, Monday the 30th of May. Let's recap how global markets closed last week.
Well, global markets seem to head into the weekend on an upbeat note. I mean, it's all green on the board. US markets, the Dow was up 1.8%, S&P 500 up 2.5%, the Nasdaq up 3.3%. It's a big change from what it was just a week ago when we saw that midweek plunge over retail earnings, but they've seemed to recoup those losses. Over in Asia, also in the green, the Nikkei was up 0.7%, Hang Seng up 2.9%, Shanghai Composite was up 0.2%, STI in Singapore up 0.7%, FBM KLCI here also up 0.4%. So lots to celebrate on Friday.
What a great way to end the week last week. For more on international markets, though, we have with us Clifford Bennett, Chief Economist at ACY Securities. A very good morning to you, Clifford. Now, the S&P 500, as we were talking about just now, managed to climb 6% last week, coming back from a series of weekly falls that preceded it. Is there some fundamental recovery in U.S. equities behind the rebound, or is this just a dead cat bounce?
Good morning to you both. It's great to be on your show. It does look a little bit like a runaway market to the upside at the moment. It's a little bit like calling a race, actually a horse race, the market plunging last week, as you pointed out, and then this really very strong rally of the last 3 days now. I thought that rally would peter out, but it just seems to be gathering strength. We did see a rally of 400 or 500 points in March, which then resulted in fresh lows yet again. So we're obviously living in more volatile times than in previous years in terms of this price action, and volatility really is a sign potentially of a good reason to be cautious, though I have to admit the bargain hunters have a bit of an argument at the moment that things could be turning around in price action, which is a little bit confusing to me, I have to admit, because on a fundamental point of view, as you've asked, I really don't see that fundamental economic turnaround being present in the US economy. In fact, I see the fundamentals continuing to deteriorate a little bit. We saw slightly good data in the US on Friday, but again, this economic data is volatile too, and we've seen very significant weakening in consumer confidence in the United States to GFC type levels. And that really does remain my major concern, that going forward, this momentary consumer enthusiasm in terms of the price and quantity data that we're seeing in behavior isn't going to be sustained.
Well, speaking about data, the US labor market is expected to report or release its numbers this week. How is that going to affect or drive performance of the indices in this coming week?
Well, it will affect them in an exaggerated way because really there's too much emphasis put on labor data, but it will be strong. So that could support the market during the week as traders feel that strong data expectation, is a reason not to be short the market. So we could be seeing a lot of people who positioned negatively in various indices in the US taking those positions back, and that could support the market this week. I think really listeners should be aware that the labor data is very backward looking and isn't actually a forward projecting indicator of the US economy. But the market will want to see it that way on the day, I think.
And looking at how what happens in the US impacts the rest of the world, including our region here, you're forecasting a triple recession to hit the US, Europe, and China. Given Japan and South Korea's export dependency on those three markets, what's your outlook for these two North Asian countries? Do you think they'll be able to avoid falling into a recession?
Well, I'm forecasting risk of a triple recession. I think a triple recession is very possible. I'm not sure it's an absolute given, but certainly that is the tendency at the moment across the Northern Hemisphere. I do see those countries, South Korea, Japan, particularly vulnerable, but at the same time, we've seen tremendous intra-regional growth in trade in Asia over the last 15 years. And so if you like, that's a strengthening fabric across all of Asia, outside of China as well as including China. I do see a slowing in global growth, but less so in Asia. And I guess the good news for South Korea and Japan, and they are exhibiting some caution and just the first signs of some caution in the economic data at the moment, is that China will have what I'm calling a touch-and-go recession. It'll be a recession if it occurs. If we get the technical recession of two negative quarters, it will be short-lived because it's lockdown-driven. And as China comes out of those lockdowns, I think stimulus measures will be added once the economy is fully open again rather than immediately. And I think the Chinese economy will bounce back rather firmly in a touch-and-go fashion, you know, that fast upward acceleration again, not to where it used to be, but still to reasonable levels of growth. So I think a modest outlook for South Korea and Japan is appropriate, but they may well avoid recession.
Yeah, so Clifford, you mentioned that, you know, likelihood of China, you know, entering a very prolonged recession is quite low. It's going to be very short lasting. What's your take about US and Europe? Do you expect the recession to linger longer than expected?
Yes, I do. Firstly, I expect, unfortunately, the tragedy in Ukraine to be ongoing and extended into next year, perhaps. So that's a little bit longer than most people's hopeful expectations, and we all hold hope. That will definitely continue to dampen the European experience. We're already seeing things like German consumer morale at all-time record lows or close to it, just a small bounce on the last month. Overall, Europe remains suppressed, I would think, in new business investment activity. Just a slight pause as people watch to see what happens in Ukraine. Over in the United States, I think there are more serious structural problems, and one of the things people aren't talking about is the possibility that we have a second housing bubble situation in the US at the moment. A lot of the housing data is dropping away rather alarmingly, yet prices have continued to stretch higher. And that suggests there is a bubble in the prices of a US property at the moment. So as US consumers are already at GFC type levels of enthusiasm, which isn't very good, if we see some mortgage stress as interest rates go up there, I think there are structural issues facing the United States going forward.
Clifford, in your commentary, you've expressed bullishness about energy commodities like oil and gas. What's your view on food commodities with the recent price spikes? Do you have a similarly favorable view of them?
Yes, I wouldn't use the word favorable. I'm very concerned about food prices. I think both the loss of supply from Ukraine and Russia of basic food commodities and the sanctions applied, or the lack of supply out of that region combined with the refusal of supply through sanctions, means that we are facing some food shortages going forward. This will keep food prices elevated, even in the Western countries that may be agricultural rich. Even in countries like Australia, we're seeing food prices rise. So I'm very concerned that, yes, there will be ongoing upward movement in food prices, wheat, soy, etc. And that is a very difficult situation for the rest of this year for poor countries and the less wealthy in even the wealthy countries to deal with.
So, Clifford, with all this volatility and worries, right, one would expect gold to be to do well. But why is it facing a downward trend, especially once we perceive it to be a safe haven?
Yes, very good observation. Gold had a wonderful rally. So I was right in my forecast for a period, and then I've been wrong of late. And I think what's happening in the world is, and we saw gold come off, but we're seeing gold stabilize now. And in fact, I would think that gold is stabilizing now into a consolidation period before again moving higher on that sort of safe haven idea, but plus also ongoing strong industrial and luxury jewelry demand around the world. But I do think gold suffered in the same way that many other markets did, equities and other commodities, in that when people started to get seriously concerned about the twin combination knockout blows of both high prices and interest rates going up in the United States and much of the world, there was a risk-off approach. And that triggered a deleveraging, if you like, an unwinding of positions being held across all markets. So major funds, whatever market they're in, they wound back their risk significantly, and that included gold positions. So I see the sell-off in gold as a deleveraging risk-off period. But once we stabilize here in price, I think you will see genuine buyers coming back to the gold market.
Thanks a lot, Clifford. That was Clifford Bennett, Chief Economist at ACY Securities, trying to give us a sense of what is happening in this highly uncertain and volatile markets. We are heading for a quick break, but up next, how worried should we be about monkeypox? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.